Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be today, up and down the network of Stand in the Gap Today. On behalf of David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us today. Sam Rohr is not with us today again. I think he is still on assignment or on his way back from being on assignment. But Dave Kistler, glad to have you with us today, as always.
Well, Gary, thank you so much. It's a delight to be aboard. We have got a full day today on our agenda, but we've also got a full weekend coming up with lots of things occurring, and I know we'll get into it, but Gary, I'm looking forward to this afternoon and this evening. I'll be in South Carolina at that presidential forum in Greenville and be able to hopefully bring some firsthand information back to both you and our listening audience on Monday.
What are you expecting? I saw, there have been a number of different advertisements on this upcoming forum in Greenville. I saw that last night, saw it this morning. What are you expecting, and what can you anticipate that you're going to be finding and taking place there this evening?
Well, Gary, I do know this. There's going to be about 10,000 people at least in attendance. The Bon Secours Arena is a large kind of convention hall type arena in South Carolina. It's the largest one in the city. Greenville is probably the buckle of the South Carolina Bible Belt, so that's why they're hosting it there. There will be 11 candidates there. Donald Trump will be there. Carly Fiorina will be there. Ted Cruz will be there. Scott Walker will be there. Ben Carson will be there, and some of the others, but those are the big names. And, of course, Jeb Bush will be there as well. So it's basically from 4 o'clock this afternoon until 10 o'clock tonight. It will involve a number of specific things that will take place, the most important of which is a Q&A time where the participants, the candidates, will be posed questions. And so, Gary, I anticipate it being an absolutely informative, insightful evening. And I am hoping and praying and anticipating getting an opportunity to meet Donald Trump and maybe get to converse with him briefly a little bit one-on-one. We'll see what happens there, but that's the game plan.
Well, now the format, you say there's going to be some questions asked to these individual candidates. Will those questions be coming from the actual people who are in the audience, or are they going to – is it going to be a debate like it was the other night with various reporters and so forth and so on asking the questions?
Gary,
you know
that
what the format's going to be.
Sure. Yeah, that I'm not altogether sure. I haven't gotten any information. I do, though, have the perception from the written communication that I've received that it is not going to be identical to the debate format the other night. Who's going to be asking the question, how those questions will be posed and all that kind of thing, I'm not sure. But, I'm hoping they'll take some questions from the floor and have a roving microphone where people can just ask questions, kind of like what Trump did yesterday. In fact, I think he may have done what he did yesterday in New Hampshire kind of as a warm-up for this thing in South Carolina where he just answered questions from the floor. And so I'm hoping that is going to be ultimately the format that will be followed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Is it going to be telecast, do you know, or is it just something that will be local there in Greenville, South Carolina?
Gary, I don't know that it's going to be telecast live, but I do know that there will be every, of course, major media outlet there already this morning. Fox has been covering the fact that there is going to be the forum in South Carolina. Of course, it's hosted by Heritage Action out of Washington, D.C., which is a very conservative think tank type organization. But I'm sure it will be reported on widely on the news. But to my knowledge, it's not going to be covered live like the debate the other night.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will no doubt be hearing about this over the weekend and maybe come Monday, why Dave will be able to give us a report as to what's going on there or what will be taking place in Greenville this evening. I do want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that today is Phone-In Friday, and if you would like to call in and participate in our discussion, you may do so. The number to call toll-free is 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Or locally in the Philadelphia area, it's 610-539-8255. That's 610 or 0, whatever you want to call it, 539 1-800-522-8255, and we would be delighted to hear from you. Again, that toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180, and the local number in the Philadelphia area where our anchor station WFYL is located would be 610-539-8255. And, you know, there's just a lot going on. First of all, let's talk a little bit about Kim Davis, Dave. It's interesting. Yesterday, I think it was Constitution Day. And I just found out this morning that that was Kim Davis's birthday. Were you aware of that?
Gary, I was not. That is beyond ironic. But I knew it was Constitution Day, but I did not know it corresponded to her birthday.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that was interesting because I think what's taking place there with her is really a constitutional issue. And, you know, in the debate the other night, the question was asked, basically, what would the various candidates do with reference to Kim Davis? And George Pataki said that he would fire her. But both Mike Huckabee, Jeb Bush, as well as Rick Santorum and Bobby Jindal, all of them said that they would provide an accommodation for her religious convictions. And I'm glad to hear that they made that particular statement, but George Pataki's answer really concerns me, doesn't it, you?
Well, Gary, I heard when he made that statement, and it is literally not only an unconstitutional statement, it's literally off the wall, to be quite honest with you, to fire her because she was exercising her First Amendment religious liberty rights is unthinkable and should be something that concerns every single liberty-loving, freedom-loving believer in Jesus Christ or just citizen of the United States who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, because religious liberty, our first freedom, as our founders called it, is that upon which all the other liberties are based. And I think Mike Huckabee's statement about that is probably one of the most profound, powerful statements of any statement I've heard relative to her situation and her stand.
Yes, and when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, we will hear Mike Huckabee talking about that. It's a very, very strong statement, and we want you to hear it. If you've not had the opportunity to hear it, you will be, I think, encouraged to hear it. If you have heard it already, why, I think that you won't mind hearing it again. And, you know, when you've got a guy like George Pataki coming along and saying that he would fire Kim Davis for what she did, and then when you hear what Mike Huckabee is going to say or did say, you know, we can be thankful that we at least have a few presidential candidates who are supporting the Constitution, Dave. You know, that's where it all begins, isn't it?
Well, it is, Gary. And, you know, again, you know, you wonder why Pataki would even use the word fire, because you can't fire someone who has been elected to that position. Now, she can be impeached. And if that's what he meant by the word fire, that's one thing. But what he said was, I would fire her, which would not be his privilege to do.
Very interesting. So when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will hear the statement that Mike Huckabee gave with regard to Kim Davis. We'll also be talking about civil disobedience, and the phone lines are open if you would like to participate. It's 1-877-667-1180, or locally in the Philadelphia area, 610-539-TALK. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after this.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
A member of the Continental Congress, he led military expeditions during the Revolutionary War, paying for them out of his own pocket. He built ships with which to raid the British, signed the Constitution, and was the first president pro tem of the Senate. His name was John Langdon, and he died this day, September 18, 1819. As governor of New Hampshire, John Langdon proclaimed, "It becomes our duty not only to acknowledge in general with the rest of mankind our dependence on the supreme ruler of the universe, but as a people peculiarly favored to testify our gratitude to the author of all mercies."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the Donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
We want to welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And I'm Gary Dahl, along with David Kistler. And we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is, of course, www.standinthegapradio.com. And there you can learn more about this program as well as the other two programs that we produce through the American Pastors Network. And also you can correspond with us from that particular website, and we would encourage you, therefore, to do so. Also, today, if you'd like to call in, the phone lines are open, and the numbers are 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. The local number to call if you are in the Philadelphia area is 610-539-8255. We're talking a little bit about the Kim Davis situation and how George Pataki said in the debate the other night that he would fire her for her not wanting to have her name on the license that would authorize individuals of the same sex to get married. Of course, we're very thankful for Mike Huckabee and Jeb Bush and Bobby Jindal and Rick Santorum saying that there needs to be a provision for her to be accommodated for her strong religious convictions. We have here what Mike Huckabee said about that, and we're going to play it for you right now. Russ, play it for us, please.
I am here to fight for somebody who is a county clerk elected under the Kentucky Constitution that 75% of the people of that state had voted for, that said that marriage was between a man and a woman. The Supreme Court, in a very, very divided decision, decided out of thin air that they were just going to redefine marriage. It's a decision that the other justices in dissent said they didn't have, and there wasn't a constitutional shred of capacity for them to do it. I thought that everybody here passed ninth grade civics. The courts cannot legislate. It's what Roberts said. But heck, it's what we learned in civics. The courts can't make a law. They can interpret one. They can review one. They can't implement it. They can't force it. But here's what happened. Because the courts just decided that something was going to be, and people relinquished it, and the other two branches of government sat by silently, I thought we had three branches of government. They were all equal to each other. We had separation of powers, and we had checks and balances. If the court can just make a decision and we just all surrender to it, we have what Jefferson said was judicial tyranny. The reason that this is a real issue that we need to think about.
Thank you, Governor.
No, let me finish this one thought, Jake. I haven't gotten that much time, so I'm going to take just what little I can here. We made accommodation to the Fort Hood shooter to let him grow a beard. We made accommodations to the detainees at Gitmo. I've been to Gitmo, and I've seen the accommodations that we made to the Muslim detainees who killed Americans. You're telling me that you cannot make an accommodation for an elected Democrat county clerk from Rowan County, Kentucky? What else is it other than the criminalization of her faith and the exaltation of the faith of everyone else who might be a Fort Hood shooter or a detainee at Gitmo?
Well, I'm not telling you that, Governor, but Governor Bush is, because...
Well, that was a very strong statement, David.
Gary, that is a phenomenal statement, and I just want to go on record and say this. I could not agree more with what Mike Huckabee just said in the debate the other night that our listeners were just privileged to listen to. Gary, that is as crystal clear an argument, a constitutional argument, as I have ever heard in my life, and it is the kind of thing that anyone who's concerned about religious liberty or liberty in general should be greatly interested in. What Mike said hits the nail squarely on the head.
Well, he does. And, there are a number of issues there. Of course, I think the biggest issue that Mike brought up, that is an issue that we've spoken of before, not only on this program but in other venues, is the idea of this concept of legislating from the court bench. That was never intended by our founding fathers, David. What has happened that we have gotten to the point where that's being done in almost every level of the judicial system today?
Well, Gary, let me back up to 1865 when the 13th Amendment was passed and kind of use that as an illustration. When slavery was outlawed, an amendment was added to the United States Constitution, the 13th Amendment, to basically state what was the law of the land from that point on. However, Gary, over the process of time, there were decisions made coming out of the high court where just the opinion, and that's what it is called. It's a judicial opinion. That opinion was deemed to be the law itself, and there was no accompanying legislation that came out of Congress. What Mike Huckabee is saying, Gary, and I agree with him 100%, is if a case goes to the high court and they say that, for example, state amendments, state legislation that says marriage is between a man and a woman, if they deem that to be quote unquote unconstitutional, then what is constitutional? What is constitutional has to be put in the form of legislation. It has to go through the legislative process in Congress. It then has to go to the president's desk after passing both houses of Congress. It has to get his signature on it, and then not be subject to any type of override back in the Congress. So what Mike is saying is this: we now have courts basically being the final arbiter of what is law and what isn't law, and that is not what our founders intended.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And with that that's taking place and some other things that we see going on in the United States of America, Dave, and, of course, even in light of Kim Davis's case down there in Kentucky, along with a general departure from biblical truth in general, I think it's possible that committed Christians are going to have to face civil disobedience in the very near future more and more and more. In reality, that's what Kim Davis faced last week or the week before. And the question that we've even asked several times on this particular program is, who is going to be next? And this concept of civil disobedience is something that I think the average person in the pew is just not aware of, and I think we do need to bring it to the forefront in order to prepare ourselves for it, as well as to equip our listeners to understand what it's all about. So, Dave, what really is civil disobedience? If you were to define it to our listeners, and I'm going to ask you indeed to do that, what is civil disobedience?
Gary, let me give a dictionary definition of civil disobedience, all right? And here would be something akin to what you would find in any dictionary. It is the refusal to comply with a particular law or laws as a peaceful form of protest. Now, that protest may be a political protest for the believer in Jesus Christ. It may be a protest based on one's religious faith, which traditionally most of the civil disobedience has centered around religious belief and faith belief that has driven someone to say, I'm sorry, I cannot comply with that law or those laws. And by the way, the Bible is replete with a number of examples of that. So it is a refusal to comply with a law or laws as a peaceful form of protest.
Okay, and in addition to that, I have recently written a small paper on the Christian and civil disobedience, and that, of course, is on our church website, which is www.fbcaltuna.org, and folks, you can go there and get it. That's www.fbcaltuna.org. I pastor the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona. And I, in that particular paper, David, define civil disobedience as the deliberate act of disobeying civil government because of personal conviction when a civil law or authority commands one to violate the principles of Scripture or expects personal disobedience to the will of God. Of course, that goes right along with what you talked about. And, you know, you had mentioned that the Bible is replete with the illustrations of individuals who had to practice civil disobedience. But what is the basis? What's the biblical basis for civil disobedience, Dave?
Well, Gary, the examples that are in the Scripture, every time someone refused to obey a governmental mandate in the Scriptures, it always was prompted by a conflict of authority, where the governmental authority asked a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, a follower of the God of heaven, to obey a governmental mandate, and in doing so, they were being asked to disobey a divine mandate. We can go all the way back to the book of Exodus, where the midwives were asked to do a certain thing, And because the midwives disobeyed government in order to be in obedience to God, that was a form of civil disobedience. You come into the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, where Daniel's three friends were commanded to bow down and worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they had a clear command scripturally to the contrary, because one of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to any false god. Have no other gods before the God of heaven. Don't bow down to false gods. And so to comply with that governmental mandate there in the country of Babylon, they would have had to have disobeyed God. So they chose to disobey the government in order to obey God. You come into the New Testament, Acts 5:29. You have Peter and John being commanded, don't preach or teach in the name of Jesus. And of course, their statement was as crystal clear as it could be. We ought to obey God rather than men. So they disobeyed government to obey God. That is the at the core of what motivates religiously the thing we now call civil disobedience.
We're talking about civil disobedience, ladies and gentlemen, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask Brother Dave Kistler to share with us the attitude that a Christian should have when facing civil disobedience. So you won't want to go away. This is Stand in the Gap Today for this Friday, and along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dell. We will be back with more right after these messages, so please stay tuned.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Debate in the House on bills to punish doctors that don't save babies surviving abortions and to freeze Planned Parenthood funding.
This is yet another attempt by anti-choice bully politicians to restrict a woman's right to choose.
Why would you want to force your constituents to pay for something so evil?
Democrat Raul Ruiz and Republican Kevin McCarthy, they're both from California. Those bills are expected to be blocked by Senate Democrats. A friend of Dylan Ruff pleads not guilty to federal charges. Ruff is accused of murdering 9 people at a black church in Charleston, South Carolina.
Joey Meeks was quick to talk to reporters back in June about what happened.
No one believed that he would have done nothing like this.
But he's been under the watch of the feds for about a month now, and they claim he's been lying and that he failed to report knowledge of criminal acts. Meeks insists he's done nothing wrong.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Fox News. We report. You decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The release of a series of videos exposing terrible atrocities committed by Planned Parenthood in the name of reproductive health or the right to choose has awakened many to the truth of abortion and is stirring calls to restore protection for all innocent human life from conception until natural death. It's being described as a Wilberforce moment, so named for William Wilberforce, the British Member of Parliament, whose Christian faith led him to take a stand against the slave trade. On October 30th, we're hosting Eric Metaxas as the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet. Eric Metaxas is the best-selling biographer of Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, two men who demonstrated the duty of Christians to stand up against the evil in their day. For more information about our Friends of the Family Banquet, go to pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And on behalf of David Kistler, I'm Gary Dull. This is Stand in the Gap Today for a Friday. And I would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this particular program. But also, you have the opportunity there to correspond with us. And we would love to hear from you. So please go there. And if you have a question about the program, or if this program is being a challenge or an encouragement or a blessing to you, we would like to hear that as well. You can do that there at standinthegapradio.com. Now, before the break, we were talking a little bit about what civil disobedience is. And Dave, before we go on to another topic, I had mentioned to the listeners that you would give them the attitude with which one should face civil disobedience should it come their way. What would that attitude be?
Well, Gary, before I go into that, could I just quickly share this? It was Aristotle that said many, many, many years ago, and I quote, "It is not always the same thing to be a good man and a good citizen." In other words, what he was saying is this: sometimes to be a good man, a moral individual, you have to become a bad citizen, and that means you have to disobey some law that is an unjust law. And Gary, when evil men make bad laws, it is the obligation of righteous men to disobey those laws when those laws are in direct contradiction to the law of God and to God's precepts and God's word. And really, that's the essence of what is at the heart of Kim Davis' resistance and what she did there in Kentucky. So even when that takes place, and I think we have seen this modeled in Kim Davis, the attitude of the one who disobeys, that is the one who is practicing civil disobedience, their attitude is one of submission. Romans 13 says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers." And the word subject there really primarily is an attitude word. They're to have an attitude of submission to the higher powers. What I would say, Gary, is this: there is the distinct ability to disobey a governmental mandate while simultaneously maintaining an attitude of submission toward governmental authority. In other words, I don't, you know, like the old Bill Conrad commercial where he set the battery on his shoulder years ago and would just look at the camera and say, "Go ahead, knock that off, I dare you." That is not the attitude that anyone who is a believer who practices civil disobedience should have. They should have an attitude of submission. This is a last resort. This is not what I want to do. But my commitment to the God of heaven and to the truth of Jesus Christ tells me I cannot comply with that law because it's unjust. It's against the God of heaven. But my attitude still is one of submission, not defiance.
Yes, that's a good description, Dave. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, we would encourage you to consider this concept of civil disobedience. Remember the words of the early disciples in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, where they said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." That word "ought" carries along with it the idea of a moral obligation. And as Christians, we are not only citizens of the United States of America or whatever nation we are living in, but we are citizens of heaven as well. And heaven is our higher authority. And as Brother Dave very adequately brought out, when the laws of man violate the laws of God, then we've got to stand for the laws of God in a humble, submissive way. And I think that we're going to see more of that as time draws closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we'll not see that increase is if we have leaders who love the Lord Jesus Christ and love the principles of the Word of God and would lead us accordingly. Certainly, we need to pray that that happens and that even the next president that we have here in the United States of America would love the Lord Jesus and would love the Word of God and govern according to biblical truth. We want to shift gears again in the sense of going back to the presidential election and some of the things that have been said. We want to start with Carly. You know, it's very interesting. She really came along strong the other night, David, in this last debate. And as a matter of fact, she gave quite a challenge to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton with regard to the Planned Parenthood tapes. And I think we have that particular statement of Carly there. Russ, if we have it, let's listen to it now, if we can, please.
These two issues, both of which are incredibly important, Iran and Planned Parenthood. One has something to do with the defense of the security of this nation. The other has something to do with the defense of the character of this nation. You have not heard a plan about Iran from any politician up here. Here's my plan. On day one in the Oval Office, I will make two phone calls. The first to my good friend Bibi Netanyahu to reassure him we will stand with the state of Israel. The second to the Supreme Leader to tell him that unless and until he opens every military and every nuclear facility to real anytime, anywhere inspections by our people, not his, we, the United States of America, will make it as difficult as possible to move money around the global financial system. We can do that. We don't need anyone's cooperation to do it. And every ally and every adversary we have in this world will know that the United States of America is back in the leadership business, which is how we must stand with our allies. As regards Planned Parenthood, anyone who has watched this videotape, I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, to watch these tapes. Watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking, while someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain. This is about the character of our nation. And if we will not stand up and force President Obama to veto this bill, shame on us.
Well, that's a pretty strong statement. Of course, two different subjects there, David. But, you know, particularly as it relates to the Planned Parenthood thing, you know, she actually challenged Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton to watch those particular videos. And I guess it was yesterday or the day before at some particular point, I think it was yesterday, that Wolf Blitzer of CNN actually asked Hillary Clinton if she would take that dare, take that challenge. And, David, she just completely avoided the question, and she gave an answer to something else that she wanted to answer, not the question that Wolf Blitzer brought to her attention.
Well, Gary, I can say this. I am quite positive that Hillary and the president both have watched those videos. They're very much aware of them. But that statement, Gary, that Carly Fiorina made is about the most powerful statement I have heard made from the lips of any politician in a long, long time. That is as unequivocal, crystal clear, a statement full of conviction, full of truth, communicated in a passionate way. And Gary, that one clip, just talking from a strictly pragmatic standpoint, is to a large degree why I believe when the next polls come out that Carly Fiorina will have jumped significantly. But that was obviously not made merely because of how that's going to benefit her politically. I believe she believes that in her core, or she would not have stated it in that fashion. But it is something that Hillary doesn't want to even address. Mm. She's going to stand with Planned Parenthood. She said as much when this was brought up to her recently. She's going to stand with Planned Parenthood. I don't care how horrific these videos might be that come out that reveal just the unbelievable insensitivity, disregard for human life, the callousness, and there's a host of other descriptive terms I could use on the part of Planned Parenthood officials as well as those on the left that see nothing wrong with this. Gary, it defies one's ability to comprehend. It is inhuman.
Well, it is inhuman, and, you know, not only could we hear Carly's words there, but I saw that the other night, and when watching her, you could see through her expression that she really meant what she was saying. And of course, you know, that's what we need in the White House today, Dave. We need people who are going to have strong conviction and who are going to stand upon those convictions no matter what. Now, I'm going to throw out a question to you that has been asked me over and over again in the last number of years. And that is this: should we as Christians support a woman in the White House?
Gary. Well, let me say this, and I know the passage that some would go to, and when the scripture says, "Woe to you when you know when children are your leaders, or when women rule over you," and that kind of thing. And I think the passage in the scripture, Gary, is not a condemnation of women being involved in a leadership role as much as it is a condemnation of men when you don't have men who are qualified, or men don't have the backbone to stand up and lead. Now, let me give a couple of examples. You would be hard pressed to find a better leader than Esther. You would be hard pressed to find a more strategic leader than Deborah. Was it an indictment against the men in Deborah's day? Yes, it was. But God used Deborah mightily as a judge. You would certainly be hard-pressed in more modern times to find a greater leader than Golda Meir in Israel. You would certainly be hard-pressed to find a more principled leader than Margaret Thatcher in Great Britain. So it's not an indictment, I don't think, of women. It's an indictment of men who are not stepping up to lead. But no, I don't think there would be anything necessarily wrong with voting for a woman who has a backbone of steel and would do the right thing.
And I'm convinced that if it were to come down to a decision between Carly and Hillary, I think I know who you would vote for.
Gary, do we even need to discuss that?
We'll be back with more of Stand in the Gap today, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Please stay tuned.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, "I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing"? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. We are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
Nations who reject God
will get evil rulers, and God is clear that when the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Today, our leaders arrogantly scoff at God and shamelessly violate His commands. And as God said would happen, the righteous are mourning. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. At APN, we encourage pastors to speak as prophets and boldly shout forth the truth to our leaders. On Mount Carmel, King Ahab, the evil political ruler, accused Elijah, the man of God, of being the source of Israel's economic troubles because he called sin, sin. Elijah did what pastors today must do when he declared, "I'm not the reason our land is suffering, O Ahab. It's you and the others in leadership because you've rejected God, His authority, and His commands." I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network saying, modern-day Elijahs are needed now more than ever. Will you encourage your pastor to speak like Elijah?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And along with David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl. The Lord willing, Sam Rohr will be back with us again on Monday, as, of course, he has been involved in a very, very significant Stand in the Gap Religious Freedom Rally in Nashville, Tennessee. And hopefully on Monday we'll be able to hear an update as to what took place down there. But, Dave, talking about presidential candidates, let's go to Donald Trump. And yesterday, I believe it was, there was a question that was brought to him concerning Barack Obama and his Muslimism. And I'm wondering if you might address that a little bit. I like that word Muslimism, by the way.
Well, Gary, what happened yesterday at a rally in New Hampshire? Trump actually did not deliver a speech. He just opened up from the floor the opportunity for people to ask questions. And there was a gentleman off camera who basically made a statement that the problem in America, or there is a significant problem in America with Muslims coming to this country. I'm sure what motivated that is the possibility of these refugees from Syria coming into the country, in addition to the several hundred thousand refugees or folks from outside the country that may have a tie to some radical Islamic group that are already being allowed in the country. And so I'm sure that was on his mind. So he asked the question about, what would you do about that? And then in the context of the question, Gary, he made a statement that we all know, or I know, or many know, that our president is himself a Muslim. And what Trump did not do that some are critiquing him for is he did not stop the man. He did not correct the man. He did not say anything about that statement. The man went on and said, "What are you going to do about this?" And the question he was asking is, what are you going to do about the potential of these refugees coming in with some tie to a radical Muslim group? And the statement that Trump made was this: well, we're going to have to look into that, or we are looking into that, about what we can do to get rid of them. And he was not talking about all Muslims getting rid of them. He was talking about this influx of refugees. But he's taken incredible criticism for that. Today on Fox News, Chris Christie just took Trump to task and said, if it were me and I were asked the question, I would have corrected the questioner, and all that kind of thing. So, you know, Gary, it just seems like one incessant attempt after another to try to get Trump off the stage. What's interesting is this, and our listeners will remember this, it was Trump who pushed the birth certificate to the point that the White House actually had to release a birth certificate, supposedly from the president. And it was Trump that pushed the issue until that was actually done. So some are saying maybe he didn't protest the questioner's comment or correct the questioner because maybe Trump knows the truth about who the president is. But anyway, it's just one thing after another, Gary, to try to get Trump off the stage.
Well, yeah, I think that there are those who would like to get Trump off the stage. And again, we need to look into him just a little bit more. That is, look into Donald Trump just a little bit more. I would like to know a little bit more about his biblical background, where he stands on biblical issues. You know, he is saying a lot of the right things as it relates to finance, as it relates to domestic and foreign policy, although it seems like as it relates to foreign policy, he does have a whole lot more to learn. But, you know, I really would like to know just a little bit more about what his opinions and ideas are from the biblical perspective, and hopefully that's going to come out in time. But, you know, I think that not only would the media like to do away with Donald Trump, but I think that there are just about 14 other people running for the presidency of the United States on the Republican side that would like to get rid of Trump as well. And so my question to you is, as a result of the debate the other night, do you think that maybe Donald Trump has slumped a little bit? I heard a discussion yesterday on a local talk show where they were saying that they think that Donald Trump is on his way down, that Ben Carson is on his way up, and that by the end of this year, Donald Trump will not be the contender that he is today. What are your thoughts on that, David?
Well, Gary, all of that is certainly possible. But what I think what is happening is they want that to be the case. Mm. The media desires that to happen, and so they're trying to turn it into a self-fulfilling prophecy.
But why would they want that to happen? Let me just throw this in here, because he brings them good ratings.
Well, Gary, he does, but the problem is this. He is the uncontrollable component in this campaign. They cannot control him. They cannot dictate to him. He is not obliged to them in any way. Any place he goes, he gets, you know, free advertisement because a microphone is in his face and a camera is on him. But they can't control him. He's not indebted to them at all. And I think there is a sense in which that frustrates them beyond belief because they can't dictate the narrative with Donald Trump. And they're so used to doing that with all the other candidates. I really believe that's the situation. So every time he goes into a situation, and Gary, I'm not endorsing here. What you said earlier is 100% correct. There is so much about him we don't know. There are things about him that we do appreciate: his forthrightness, his unscripted nature, the fact that he just tells it like it is. All of that, you know, we do appreciate that. But there's a lot about him we don't know. So what I'm about to say is not an endorsement of him, but I do love it, Gary. I absolutely love it when I see the media frustrated, doing their best to get him off the stage and out of the picture, and being incredibly unsuccessful in doing so.
Well, you know, yeah, he is quite the phenomenon. And I've got to say, too, I don't endorse him. I don't think I would endorse him if I could. But he's just very, very interesting to watch. But, you know, he does bring a breath of fresh air into politics to a certain degree. And I know we're just about out of time here, David, but the one final thing before we leave the radio today, you know, it's interesting to follow this Bo Bergdahl situation. And apparently he planned to abandon his platoon for weeks before he actually did. It's been brought up in the trial that he's involved with right now that he had been trying to divert his pay to his grandmother. At one particular point, he told his dad that he did not want to be there. And his dad, of course, said, well, follow your own conscience. And, you know, as this is all coming out, it shows me how defunct and bogus the Obama administration is, because when Bo Bergdahl was brought back to the United States, they had a special ceremony for him there in the White House in Washington, D.C. I doubt that we would see that in a Donald Trump administration.
Well, Gary, I don't think we'd see that at all. And what about this, Gary? What about trying to get Pastor Saeed Abedini out of Iran, who is there incarcerated mm-hmm. totally unjustly? How about bringing him back and having a Rose Garden ceremony in the White House for him? How about bringing his wife, who's had to endure his absence and raise their children on her own in his absence? Why don't you bring her and the children up there and promote them in front of the American public and the world, rather than promoting a traitor, which is what Bo Bergdahl is.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Well, I'm for it, Gary.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
I'll follow.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
It's not going to happen. You know it's not under this president. It's not going to happen at all.
Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Until Monday, on behalf of Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up because we know the best is yet to come. Amen to that.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.